Being You, Changing the World by Dr. Dane here. Beautiful you, somehow this book ended up in your hands. How does it get even better than that? So is now the time? Are you willing to be you and change the world? If so, my courageous friend, before you continue listening, say this out loud with me all 5 times. Yes, out loud. Everything is the opposite of what it appears to be. Nothing is the opposite of what it appears to be. Everything is the opposite of what it appears to be. Nothing is the opposite of what it appears to be. Everything is the opposite of what it appears to be. Nothing is the opposite of what it appears to be. Everything is the opposite of what it appears to be. Nothing is the opposite of what it appears to be. Everything is the opposite of what it appears to be. Nothing is the opposite of what it appears to be. Now you're sufficiently prepared. Turn the page and begin the journey into weirdness. Introduction. I didn't write this book for everyone. I wrote it for the few. The people that realize that this reality in its current form is not working to bring about the greater us that is truly possible. I wrote it for the dreamers, those that know that something different and greater should be possible and that we should be able to have it. You dreamers are my people. You're the ones who can truly change the world if you can just allow yourself the permission to do it. If you can come out of the idea that this reality, as it is, will ever be enough for you. And if you can simply begin to realize that every limitation you've ever thought you had was simply a greatness you couldn't yet recognize. If you were being you, who would you be? What if you, truly being you, is all it takes to change everything? Your life, everyone around you, and the world. What if you, being you, were the missing key to having everything you've ever desired or wanted to create and change in the world? What if you, being you, meant receiving everything, being everything, knowing everything, and perceiving everything? Do you know that it's time to wake up? That's what this book is meant to do. It isn't like any other self-improvement book you've ever read. It's not the same old spiritual, psychological rehash of the same old stuff with different words. It's not the kind of book that you read and then judge yourself for being inadequate afterwards. Nope, this is a book about empowering you to change many of the ways in which you're judging you, making you wrong, and feeling inadequate. It's about coming out of the judgment of you and the idea that you're wrong in any way. Maybe it will even invite you to know that more is possible. Imagine what it would be like to not have to feel wrong about you in any way, for any reason, ever again. What if you are the difference the earth requires? Is now the time to step up? So what does it take to truly be you? Would you be willing to try something completely different? It isn't about succeeding as you or doing something better. It is about being you, being the energy of you, whatever that may be. Has anyone ever asked you to show up as you? Just you, exactly as you are? I'd like to invite you to this, to being the energy of you. Start by reading and using the tools in this book. They may seem really simple, but please don't discount them because of that. If you choose to use these tools, your life will change, and your investment in this book will not only change your life, but be worth many times whatever you paid for it. You don't even have to put massive amounts of work into the exercises in this book. Reading them is all that's required, and the willingness to change. Just the willingness. You don't have to know how the change is going to occur. The how is up to the universe. Use the tools and allow the universe to work for you. If you could figure out your life by thinking, if you could mentally figure out how to be you, wouldn't you have done so already? If thinking yourself out of the box actually worked, wouldn't you be generating a totally different reality by now? I mean, really, haven't you been trying to think your way out of the box forever? If you're willing, this book can give you an awareness and a reminder of what it's like to be you, beyond the cognitive, beyond the logical mind. It also gives you the tools to choose you. Throughout this book, I'll be asking you to look at things from a different perspective. Why? Because looking at things from the same perspective has created the life you currently have. And if that were enough for you, you wouldn't be reading this book. Would you be willing to find out who you truly be? Would you be willing to make the demand that you show up? Would you be willing to know what's really true for you? Let me tell you a little bit about the playing field. Part one of this book is about the things that stop you from being you, the limitations of the box you call your life that don't have to be. I'll show you some key areas where you may have been buying a lot of things as true for you that are not. We'll look deeply at this reality, the cancer called judgment, and how it stops us and kills us in ways you may never have imagined, receiving, caring, relationships, love, family, abuse, and your body. You'll also be introduced to some of the tools that can assist you in changing all of this. What else is possible if everything this reality considers important and valuable is an illusion, and not truly important and valuable for you? In part two, we'll explore what is beyond all that. What are the infinite possibilities? What if you are magic? What if you were the leader of your life? What if we lived in the kingdom of we instead of walling ourselves off in the artificially created kingdom of me? What if the earth didn't need saving? And what if you being you is the gift that is required to change the world? Along the way, I'll give you many things to ponder. Many things that I will offer you the possibility of changing now. Please know it's always your choice. And as long as you're choosing, I have no point of view about what you choose. Please just keep choosing. For you. For all of us. We, especially us dreamers, seem to spend an inordinate amount of time trying to fix what we feel must be wrong with us, rather than creating and generating a different world, a world with the kind of possibilities we'd like to be able to choose. As we explore many of the ways in which you may have been keeping yourself stuck, I'll point out some completely different possibilities and different ways of looking at things that you may never have considered before, and many that you probably have considered but didn't know that you could choose or institute. And always with the invitation, would you like to choose something different here? Because even when you don't know how that different reality is going to get created, your choice is always the first step to getting there. You don't have to know how that choice is going to show up. Your choice that it show up changes the world to begin to allow it to happen. The universe's job is fulfillment. You just have to choose to move in that direction and just keep moving. If you do, no one and nothing will ever stop you again. As the title suggests, this book is written from the awareness that you, being you, will truly change not only your life, but the world. In fact, incredible people, being willing to be them and choose according to what they know, no matter the criticism, or the judgment, or anyone else's point of view, is the only thing that ever has. This is not a book of answers. I'm not a guru. I'm not perfect and I don't have any answers for you. I only have questions. This book is about possibilities. The possibility for a completely different way of being in the world. Way back in 2000, I made a demand that changed my life. For my whole life, I was one of those dreamers. I did everything I could to make others around me happy. I did everything I could think of to contribute to making people's lives a better place. I went to chiropractic college so I could learn new and better ways of creating quote-unquote miracles in people's bodies and lives because I knew it should be possible. Yet, this reality and the problems of this reality weighed so heavily on me that I became hopeless that it would ever change. I had most of the things that were supposed to matter here, but very little of it did. I began to wake up depressed and unhappy, unbeknownst to my family at the time. I began hating to go to my practice because I felt like nothing I did was enough. It was like people didn't have the tools they required to truly create change in their lives. Worse yet, I felt like I was the only one that wanted something truly different as a reality. No one seemed to get me, and to be the only one of my kind was almost unbearable. Then, by total surprise to me, I found a way out, a way beyond, a way to change everything that I thought could not be changed, and I was given access to my life again, access to a desire to live, and to fully enjoy it. To know that I was a contribution and to know that there was something else possible. And most importantly, to know that everything I always thought was true actually is. To the best of my ability, this is what I'll be sharing with you as we explore being you, changing the world. Why me? Why did I write this book? In 2000, when I came to that point in my life where I had enough of this reality, I had everything anyone could ask for. Yet nothing of that had any value to me. I was willing to end it all if things didn't change. Deep down, I knew something different was possible. I knew, like you do. I made a demand of the universe. Either my life completely changes, or I'm out of here. I even set a date, 6 months in the future. I gave the universe a deadline. Literally, a week later, I found something that changed my entire life. Access consciousness. Access, for short. During my first session, I experienced a sense and an awareness of being peace and space that I'd been looking for all my life, and I never contemplated killing myself again. And I hope with this book that I can give you that gift also. Since then, the peace and space has just continued to grow, in contrast to every other modality I'd ever tried. The tools I'm sharing with you in this book are part of Access, and they've continued to expand my living and my consciousness every moment of every day from my first contact with them. Access is the weirdest, wildest, wackiest modality I've ever come across, and it works. It just works. One way of describing Access is as an energy transformation modality which links seasoned wisdom, ancient knowledge, and highly contemporary pragmatic tools for change. Its purpose is to create the possibility for there to be a world of consciousness and oneness. What is consciousness, you say? Consciousness includes everything and judges nothing. It includes every possibility that could exist, with absolutely no judgment of any of it, or of you. Does that sound like a world you'd like to live in? If so, read on. If not, now's probably a good time to pass this book on to one of your weird friends or family members. Today I travel the world, facilitating people with the tools of access. I've developed a unique way of working with groups of people, energies, and bodies simultaneously called the Energetic Synthesis of Being, ESB for short. Most of what I'm sharing with you in this book I've learned from exploring what else is possible together with the amazing participants in these ESB classes. The places they're willing to go and the other possibilities they're willing to explore totally blows me away every time. People are far greater than they realize and more capable than they've ever imagined. During an ESB class, you're invited to access and be energies you never knew were available, and you'll do it together with the whole group. In the space of this class, you begin to synthesize with your being, your body, and the earth in a way that creates a more conscious life and a more conscious planet. By being these energies, by being you, you change everything. The planet, your life, and everyone you come into contact with. You are being you, and you are changing the world. I've also been very fortunate to have the most phenomenal facilitators and co-creators. The founder of Access Consciousness, Gary Douglas, my best friend. How did I get so lucky? Please know this. These tools, perspectives, and processes have changed lives for thousands of people all over the world. This is the reason I wrote this book. If you've ever said to yourself, there has to be something more than this, this is my way of telling you yes. Yes, there is. And there are people that are experiencing it right now. This is one possible path to a completely different way of being in the world, leading your life consciously, being the difference the earth requires. Will it work for you? Will this book guide you to be you? And will that truly change the world? Only you know, my friend. Only you can choose for you. So, what do you know? And is it possible this is the invitation you've been waiting for? Is now the time? I will do whatever it takes to show you the possibilities. Your job is just to stay out of judgment and conclusion long enough to see if these possibilities are something you'd like to choose. Will you come along? Want to play? Are you ready? Let's go. Note to reader. Weird. Do you know the original meaning of the word weird? Weird means of spirit, fate, or destiny. Does that sound like you? Even just a little bit? Would you be willing to let go of the illusion that you're average, normal, and real, and just like everyone else? Would you instead be willing to be as weird, wonderful, and amazing as you truly be? Starting now? Please be advised. Because this book is designed to create change, it will probably confuse or annoy you at times. If you don't understand something or it feels incomplete, many times the information needed for you to understand it will be presented a few short pages ahead of where you are in the book. How does it get any better than that? Please also know many parts of this book are designed to get you to question what is true for you, rather than presenting you with the point of view that you're supposed to buy. These parts may seem incomplete to you, but they were left that way on purpose, so you can come to your own knowing as you ponder. So, if you find yourself questioning or wondering, this little book is doing its job. Good book. Good book. Part 1. Being You. Quote, we spend our entire lives trying to prove that we are not what we never were in the first place. End quote. From Mel C. What if you started to embrace reality on your terms? What if your reality was something completely different? What if a completely different reality is exactly what's required? Is now the time? Tool. Destroy, uncreate, and set your reality free. If you look at this book, it looks solid, right? Except science tells us it's 99.999% space. But it does look solid. Isn't that weird? Yet, it's 99.999% space. It's just that the molecules are arranged in such a way that it looks solid and impenetrable. What if the limitations in your life and in your body, every single one of them, were exactly the same way? What if they looked really solid and that's the only way you've been able to see them until now? I know it sounds strange. And yet, what I will invite you to, if you're willing to receive it, is the awareness that those things are not necessarily solid, never were solid, and don't have to be solid anymore. I'd like to invite you, and the energy you are, to go back to the place where you took all these molecules and arranged them as solid instead of space, pliability, and changeability, and undo it so it can be the space that it actually is, so you can be the space you truly be. That's all. And so much more than that. In order to get there, sometimes in this book I'll be asking you to give something up. Actually, I may even ask you to destroy and uncreate it. It may seem crazy at the time. Why would I ever ask you to do this? Because whenever you're willing to destroy and uncreate and let go of something that is limiting you, it automatically and instantly opens up the space for something less limited, or even unlimited, to show up. Does that make sense? Let go of the limited, and the unlimited finally has space to exist. Yet, please stop a second and ask yourself, am I willing to do this? If you get a yes, what do you have to lose? See, everything you're willing to give up, uncreate, and destroy opens up a totally different possibility in your life and living. You can never give up what you truly be. Your very being is indestructible. You can only let go of, uncreate, and destroy what is defining you, limiting you, and keeping you and your being stuck, which makes room for something different and greater to show up. If you like, I would highly suggest adding this clearing statement after. Right and wrong, good and bad, pod and pock, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyonds. Pod and pock for short. That's what I do. Basically, this statement asks the consciousness of you to go back to the point of creation, or the point of destruction, before you even planted the seed to this limitation, and invite the seed to dissolve. The funny and weird thing is that it just does. It works, like magic. And what if magic is what you truly be? What if you could consider this clearing statement as your magic wand, a way to change any part of your life that you'd like to change? Wands out, let's go. By the way, if you'd like more of an explanation of the clearing statement, you can get it on my website, drdanehere.com. Tool. Ask a question, don't look for answers. I can hear you thinking already. The wheels are turning. Think, think, think. Tick, tock, tick, tock. Right, wrong, right, wrong. Can this really work? Haven't you had enough of that darn machine you call your mind and its incessant search for the right answer yet? Let me give you the way out of the right answer universe. Ask a question. It really is that simple. Here's how it works. Most of us are going down the road of our life and we've already got a point of view of where we're headed. And that's the darn direction we're going. That's it. Basta. Because we've decided that's the direction we're going, it's as though we erect these walls around us to the left and right that we can't see over, can't see around, and can't see through. Our only option is to head in the direction we concluded we were going. Without asking a question, we're left to wander the halls of the labyrinth we've created as though it's our only set of choices in life. If you ask a question, all of a sudden doors open up to the left and to the right, and they've got light and space behind them, exposing different rooms and other doorways of possibility. You open them up, and it's like, wow, there are possibilities I didn't even know existed before. The question is the key to opening other doorways of possibility. You'll never see those doors, and you'll never even know they're there, let alone be able to open them, if you don't ask a question. When in doubt, ask a question. Here are some great questions you can ask to open up more possibilities in many situations in your life. First, how does it get any better than this? Ask this when something good happens or when something bad happens. Number two, what's right about this I'm not getting? Number three, what would it take to change this? Number four, what else is possible? Number five, what would it take for this to turn out better than I could have imagined? Number six, who am I today and what grand and glorious adventures am I going to have? And don't start looking for the answer, please. Here's how it usually works in this reality. We ask a question and then we go into our mind. Is that the right answer? Is this the right answer? Is this the right answer? It's like taking a little seed, planting it, watering it, and the next day coming and picking it up out of the ground to see if it's growing yet. And when it isn't, you say, no, stupid seed, no flower yet. So you plant and water it again and grab it the next day. Have you grown yet? Like, hello? Is that the seed's fault? No, you haven't given it time to sprout and take root. I have a different suggestion for you. Literally, when you ask a question, shut up. Now, when I say that, that may seem unkind to some of you, so I apologize. And just shut up, okay? Ask a question and just go quiet for a moment, an hour, a day, or a month if necessary, and let the energy pervade your universe. Not a right answer, an energy. That energy is a result of the question you just asked. Whenever you ask a question, an energy, quote-unquote, comes up. It presents itself. It makes itself known to you. It's that energy that was your reason for asking the question in the first place. It's that very energy you can follow to lead you to the answer for which you were looking. This is why you asked the question in the first place, to open the door to getting the energy which would guide you to the thing for which you were asking. So let's ask a question. What gift can this book be to you that you couldn't even imagine when you bought it, borrowed it, found it, stole it, or were gifted it? Now, my beautiful friend, shut up and read. Or listen, as the case may be. Beyond this reality. Note to reader. What is energy? Have you ever given someone a hug and just felt like you could stand there forever melting, falling into the person you're hugging? And by contrast, have you ever given someone a hug where it felt like hugging a rock on legs? Are those two experiences different? Then you know what I mean when I talk about energy. Those are two totally different energetic experiences, two totally different energies. It is that simple. On another level, it can also be infinitely complex, part of which we'll be exploring together in this book. Imagine yourself walking in a deep, deep forest. There are no roads, just trails made by elves and fairies. The sunbeams are tainted green by the roof of leaves. You walk on this living earth, and it is softness under your feet. There's a single woodpecker knocking softly at your heart while you breathe in the scent of summer. Now close your eyes and stand still for a second here in the forest. How you be? The forest has no judgments of you and no reality to validate. It's one of the places where being comes easy. Now close your eyes again and walk down the main street of your hometown, or through the office where you work, or up the stairs to your parents' home. Is there a difference in how you be? What is that? What would it be like if your town and everyone in it would receive you with no judgment as the forest does? Who and how could you choose to be then? Everything that doesn't allow you to choose that right now, will you please destroy and uncreate that? Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyonds. And that, my friends, is how you use the clearing statement, our magic wand from before. Chapter 1. Your Reality in the Free Will Universe. Before we go on, let's define reality. What I mean by reality is basically the common, average, ordinary way everybody learns to function here on this planet. The things we all have in common and the things we think are real, without really thinking about it. It's all the stuff that seems like it just is to such a degree that we don't ever question it. In order to create a reality, you have to have two people or more who align and agree on a point of view. In other words, a reality gets created any time two or more people conclude, this is the way it is, even if they don't do it cognitively. That's actually how a reality gets created. Did you know that? So when I say this reality, I'm actually talking about what you were handed when you were born. The rules and regulations of your family, the rules and regulations of your society, the rules and regulations of the planet, all the physical laws of reality, all that stuff. For example, the rules of this reality say you can't move your body from here to Fiji instantaneously. I say, why not? Let's change that. Wouldn't it be a lot more fun? We may not succeed in changing it today, but let's head in that direction and see what shows up. I say, shoot for the moon. If we miss and hit the stars, that's not half bad. Instead, we're trying to make all the parts of this reality work right so we can be happy, rather than creating what we would really like to have, even if it's totally different than this reality. We think there must be something right about this reality if everybody's choosing it and everybody's telling us it's right. I mean, it must be right, right? The ongoing scenario in our heads is something like judgment must be right, family must be right, school must be right, money must be right. I'm probably the only one who doesn't get it right and keeps feeling wrong. But what if all these things that are supposed to be right are wrong for you? What if there were a totally different way of looking at this? Here's one possibility to consider. The reality you've been given does not work, and you don't have to choose it anymore if you don't want to. What would you truly like to choose as your life and living? If you truly knew that this were a free will universe, what would you start choosing right away? What if you were the master of your universe? You've heard the idea that we live in a free will universe. We're told that this is one of the laws of the universe, one of the ways this weird and wacky place functions. My question is, if that's true, why do our lives look the way they do? And why does the world? If it's a free will universe, then why do we keep believing that we can't choose to change? Change our money situation, or the way our body feels, or the relationships we keep creating over and over with the same person, just in a different body? And why do we keep choosing trauma and drama, poverty, unhappiness, separation, anger, hate, and judgment? Why is it we seem to be unable, or unwilling, to change all of that? We may be cute, but we definitely aren't that bright. My point of view is that we must be missing something about the idea that it's a free will universe. So what I'd like to do is take this idea of a free will universe and invite you to recognize it. In other words, let's use your power to choose and your power to change. Let's use them to change the past that has been limited and not worked for you, and create a different present and a different future, where you be you and change the world. Doesn't that sound like fun? I thought so. We all seem to have this idea, this point of view, of exactly what it's going to take to have what we desire in life. What if something totally different were required? It must be. See, if you don't have the world you'd like to live in, and the life you'd like to have, then what you thought it was going to take to get that must be incorrect. Does that make sense? And as long as we stick to the point of view that change can only occur in the one way we decided it would, that isn't working, we'll always look in the wrong direction for the source of change. All of us. Would you be willing to let go of, destroy, and uncreate, at least for the time it takes you to read this book, all the projections, expectations, separations, decisions, conclusions, judgments, rejections, and points of view that you have bought of what it would take to change your life and the world? Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyonds. Thank you. What else can show up now? I mean, really, what do you have to lose? Finding the free will universe, or at least how I started to find mine. See, I used to have a lot of answers, or at least I pretended I did. 10 years ago, I was starting my second chiropractic practice, and I even had some patients. I was making almost enough to pay my rent. Oh, joy! I had a girlfriend that everybody said was a perfect girl for me. I had everything that was supposed to make you happy here except loads of money, but that wasn't that important to me. I had tried every single modality for inner peace I could find, but I was still dying inside. So I told the universe, "You have 6 months or I'm killing myself. I've been here working for you, trying to bring awareness to people, trying to change their lives and their bodies, and trying to change things for the better on the planet, and nothing is coming back to me. I hate waking up in the morning. If that's the way it's got to be, fine, but I'm killing myself. Either things change or I'm out of here." I didn't just mean out of my relationship or Santa Barbara, I meant out of this life. There's got to be someplace happier. Some other body, some other life. I'll come back as a gypsy or a Pacific Islander, where I get to hang out in the islands all day. Or maybe I'll come back as a Rockefeller and have buckets of money. There has to be something different. There has to be something better. Maybe some other planet. I was willing to end it because I got to the point where what was not enough. I knew it, and it gave me this place of being able to not have as valuable what I had decided was valuable in the past. Everything that I had decided was valuable, I had. And it wasn't valuable. Do you know what I mean? Have you ever been there even briefly to that place? If so, this book will probably make a lot of sense to you. Literally, a week after I made this demand, I saw an ad in the paper. A tiny little classified ad. It said, "Access. All of life comes to me with ease and joy and glory." And it had this girl's phone number. My reaction was, "Pollyanna put an ad in the paper!" I was furious. "My life is pain, suffering, and glory. What are you talking about, ease, joy, and glory? What is that?" I literally throttled the paper and threw it away. Now, this paper comes out once a week in Santa Barbara, and the next week I saw the ad again. "Access. All of life comes to me with ease and joy and glory." Arg! But long before seeing this ad, I had realized that if you're in total resistance to something, there's probably something in it for you. You just don't know what it is yet. So, since I just wanted to kill the person who put the ad in the paper, I called her and made an appointment. Call it divine inspiration, call it insanity, call it grasping for a lifeboat just before the Titanic that was my life made its final shuddering plunge into the abyss. That phone call literally gave me access to my life, and I've not been able to squeeze myself into the box that used to be me ever again. I'm so, so grateful. I had a session with the girl, an access bar session, a simple process of touching points on the person's head. After this session, I had the first sense of peace I'd had in almost 3 years. It was my first time remembering everything was okay. Everything always had been, and everything always would be. And I never contemplated suicide again. One tool, one thing, a process that took about an hour, from someone I'd never even met before, and it changed the energy of my whole life and what I knew was possible. That's what I'm hoping to share with you in this book, the energetic awareness that a different energy is possible for you too. Because it's the energy of your life you're looking to change. I used to do all these things, all these spiritual modalities, and think, I want to change this thing and this thing. But even if the thing changed, if the energy was still the same, it didn't matter. The vibration of you. When you change the energy, the outward situations of your life change as if by magic. For example, have you ever noticed that people seem to move slower when you're in a huge hurry? Have you noticed that when you decide, for whatever reason, you're no longer in a hurry, that people speed up again? That's because you changed your energy. Have you ever walked into a room and changed the energy of it without even trying? Or had a friend who was having a bad day and when you talked to them or hugged them, they brightened up? What created that change? Was it what you said, or some psychological technique? Or your very being? It was your very being that changed them. It's the energy you be, the vibration of you, the essence of you that is actually the totality of you, that is the thing that exists beyond everything you think. It is you embracing the entire world. One of the things I've discovered is true is that when you step into being something, you simply become that energy. It invites everyone around you to be it too, if they're willing to have it. If they're not willing to have it, it puts that energy into their world so they can have it when they're ready. When they are ready. It could be 20 years from now. It could be a billion years from now. Who cares? You're just stepping into being something. Having a new awareness of something and then choosing it allows everyone else on the planet to have it because you are willing to be it. When you step into being something different, you open up the space for that to exist where before there was no space for it to be. I would like to invite you to the awareness of the energetic vibrations of being. The being that you be that you've never been willing to see before. The energy you be. The vibration you be. Please know that what you be is probably totally different than what you have ever thought it could be. Completely different. But it is something that when you allow it to just be, the ease you've always wanted in your life can show up. The joy can show up and the possibilities can show up. Not from effort or thinking, but just because you're being you with such a presence that it can't be destroyed. From that place, which really isn't a place as you know it, you create things. You change things. Would you be willing to find out who you truly be? Would you be willing to make the demand that you show up? Would you be willing to become acquainted with what's really true for you as a being? Just ask, right now. In so doing, you'll open the door to a different world of possibility, and you don't have to figure out how. It's the universe's job to show you how that's going to happen. All you do is make the demand. Then you just follow your life and your living and go where the universe leads you. Pretty easy, right? More on the how later. Oh, one more thing. I know you can do it. Finding the energy of me. I got this amazing gift 10 years ago when Gary Douglas, the founder of Access Consciousness, walked into my office and asked for a session. I was practicing a chiropractic technique that had 3 levels of care at the time, and I had just started with Access classes. When he walked in, Gary said, "Look, I know there are 3 levels of care to what you do. The first 2 levels don't work very well for me. I'm sorry. You're going to have to go straight to the 3rd level." Basically, in my head, I was saying, "Oh, crap, I have no idea what to do with this guy." I only had clients at level 1 and level 2 in my clinic at this time, and I had no idea how to treat someone in level 3. I just sat there with a dumb look on my face until he said, "Look, just ask my body what it wants. Follow the energy. You'll know what to do." One part of me went into conclusion, thinking, "What? All know what to do? Do you know who I am? I'm the most pathetic practitioner of anything on the planet. I'm the biggest idiot you've ever met. I'm the one with the office about the size of a closet. I don't know anything." And another part went into question. I do? When I started to work on him, I was in a completely different space. I knew what to do. Not cognitively, not in any way I could describe at the time, but somehow my being knew. There was a knowing in me. In that moment, I stepped into a space of being I didn't know existed previously. In that space, I had access to me and to my knowing. There was no thought, just knowing. At one point while working on him, I was standing about 15 feet away from him on the other side of the room, and he was flopping around on the table like a fish. I was moving my hand in the air just because it felt like the right thing to do. Each time I would move my hand right, his head would turn right. Each time I would move my hand left, his head would turn left, and he was face down. He couldn't see me at all. That first session I had with him was the very first session I had ever done of something I now call the energetic synthesis of being. It was the beginning of an entirely different way of working with bodies, using the energy of the body and the being to erase limitation, permanently in many cases. Now I travel the world facilitating people with this ESB work. One of the greatest gifts I get is to receive the testimonials and the letters of gratitude from people whose lives are changed from it. Please know, we all have a capacity to create the world as a better place for ourselves and others, simply by willing to be us and be as different as we are. The world needs you. What are you waiting for? What do you know that you don't know that you know? I didn't know what I knew until I became it. What can you become if you just allowed yourself to, quote-unquote, let go and trust and be it? Finding the energy of you. If no one ever teaches you how to be, how can you step into an awareness of what it's like to be you? One thing that can assist is to look for times in the past when you chose to truly be you. These were times when you had no thought, no judgment, total peace, and a joy in just being, with no point of view. Oh yeah, you probably also had a sense of exuberance and possibility. Those were the times when you were being you. Would you be willing to look over your life at 3 times when you know you were being you by using the suggestions above? Right now? Will you please now write them down with some details to jog your memory and awareness? Now might be a good time to stop this audio until you've found those 3 times and written them down, and then press play again. That way, you'll have an awareness of what it's like to truly be you, so that you have something to aim for, something to recall as the energy of you, and something to request of the universe to gift you more of. This is very important that you do this. Please go ahead and press stop on the audio. Please go ahead and press stop on the audio now, and I'll be back with you in a few moments. Welcome back. Let me give you an example from my life that may assist. One year I volunteered to ride in the California AIDS Ride. It's a 600-mile bike ride over the course of a week, and you ride from San Francisco to Los Angeles. The reason I volunteered to be a rider for this amazing event is because the previous year, in my last year in chiropractic college, I volunteered as a student chiropractor to treat riders for the same event. All the money raised by the riders went to services for people who had HIV or AIDS, and we were the ones helping the riders make it through the week. As chiropractic volunteers, we were on the front lines treating the riders who desperately needed our services. Many times over the course of the week-long event, I was brought to tears by the courage of the riders that I had the fortune of treating. There were grandmothers, grandfathers, brothers, sisters, lovers, parents, friends, riding because their loved ones had HIV or were dying of AIDS. There were people with HIV who were riding to tell the disease, "You don't own me. You may eventually kill me, but not today and not without a fight." The courage these people had, and their lack of judgment, and the sense of communion we all shared inspire me to this day. This ride was the one place I'd been where there was a large group of people, and no one was judging anyone else. It was one of the first times I'd ever experienced that everybody was there to assist and empower everyone else. There was a greatness that I perceived possible in that, and I said to myself, "You know what? I've got to contribute to this. Next year, I'm going to ride this damn thing." Even though I hadn't been on a bike since I was 16, I made the demand that I get a bike and learn to ride it. I bought a bike from a fellow chiropractic student that was a former racer. I started out very slowly at first and trained myself for several months. I did everything I could to raise the $2,500 required to ride, and I had some amazingly generous people donate to me so that I could pursue this dream. Finally, after months of preparation and fundraising and learning to actually ride a bike again, I was on the ride. I was riding alongside people who shouldn't have been able to ride a bike 600 miles ever, and they were there riding because it meant so much to them. As it did the previous year, the ride opened my being to a whole new awareness of what we, as people working together, are capable of. On the really long hills, many people were like, "I don't think I can make it. I think I'm going to die first." On many of them, I would ride up the hill and then I would ride back down, cheering people on from the other side of the road. And then I'd ride back up the same hill again, still cheering and yelling, "Riders, you can do it! This hill can't stop you! You're kicking its butt! Go, riders!" This was one of the first times in my adult life that it was clear to me beyond a shadow of a doubt that I was being a contribution to other people. When these people saw that someone cared about them enough to cheer them on, and to ride these amazingly long hills twice to do so, it gave many of them the strength to continue. One lady, apparently remembering my registration number and my bike, came up to me at a rest stop and told me that my riding back down the hill and cheering the riders on inspired her to continue riding that day. She said she was almost exhausted, and she asked God for help. And 20 minutes later, I rode by, cheering like a crazy man. She said she laughed and cried and carried on, at which point I cried, we embraced, and I realized what a gift we can all be to each other if we just choose to be it. In that gifting, I was also receiving so much contribution simultaneously, it's hard to put into words, so I hope you get the energy I'm trying to convey. This is one of the examples that I've got from my life of what it feels like when I'm truly being me, with no judgment, no point of view, but also with a sense of exuberance and possibility. When I rode in this event, riding up and down the hills a second time, I could no longer deny the energy of what it was like to be me. So how much energy have you used against you to deny the energy of what it's like to truly be you? Everything that is, will you destroy and uncreate all that, please, and claim and acknowledge how amazing you really are. Thank you, right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyonds. That week changed my whole life, and I've been different ever since. It's part of the reason I had the courage to stay alive when I really wanted to kill myself. Somewhere, I knew that energy and possibility for being was there, because I could never totally deny it after the experience I had on the AIDS ride. I knew it was there. I just couldn't access it at the time. Why this story from my life? To get you to look at yours. When have you been so dynamically, unquestionably you, with the exuberance, the peace, and the no judgment you know you really are? Think back to those three examples from your life. That's you. That's your new starting point. That energy is you. And not everyone can go on an AIDS ride, so let me give you a slightly different example. When I was 6 years old, my mom took me to Idaho to visit my grandparents, aunts, uncles, and other family members. One of the great things about those years in a small town in Idaho was that a 6-year-old could walk to the local store on his own. That's just what I did. I went to the store and I took all the money that I received for my latest birthday, that I'd been saving up for my trip, and I used it all to buy little tins of lip gloss for my grandmother and each aunt and uncle that I was going to visit. It brought me such joy to hand them each my little gift. It apparently brought them joy, too. They smiled, and most of them cried, especially when, unbeknownst to me, my mother let them know that I had taken all of my own money, gone to the store on my own, and purchased these items because I wanted to give them a gift. This is another example I've looked back on when I've wanted to know what it feels like to be me. I think of the generosity that 6-year-old had and that willingness to spend his last penny to make others happy. I think of that whenever I feel strange about money or whenever I feel in judgment of me. Somehow it reminds me that there's something else available for me to choose. The really important question here, what else is available for you to choose that you maybe haven't chosen for a very long time? Everything that doesn't allow you to be everything you truly can be, will you please destroy and uncreate it all now? Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine, shorts, boys and beyonds. Thank you. Having your reality is not about anyone else, nor does it require anyone else's point of view, nor is it dependent on anyone else for you to have it. You can have it now, if you'll demand it. Would you be willing to demand that more of your life show up like that now? And everything that doesn't allow that to show up for you, will you destroy and create all that now, please? Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine, shorts, boys and beyonds. Thank you. Getting the living you truly desire. You, the universe, and the energy ball. How many people do you know that are exuberantly alive? In truth, you have to be willing to be the energy of you that's different than the majority in order to be that alive. Would you be willing? Does it sound like it might be more fun than what you've been choosing? Most people, for some reason, turn the energy of being off. They would rather be dead than wrong and judgeable in other people's eyes. In other words, they would rather be dead than different than everyone else around them. What about choosing to have the energy of you, to be alive, to have a living, even if it makes you different? Would you be willing to today? Most of us have been told that in order to create something, we need to put our desire out there in order to create it. I've found that it's just the opposite. I've found that inviting in what you'd like your life to be is far more effective. I and thousands of others are living proof. You want to give it a shot? Please know this is not visualization. It's creation by request of the universe. It's easier. I find it to be dynamically more effective than visualization. So let's try something different. So here it goes. Call up the energy of what you'd like to have as your life. Don't think too much about it. Just ask for it. Whatever it is. Would you like to be able to have a nice home that has a particular feel to it? I'm not saying get the picture of a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom place. No, get the way it would feel to you to have that place in which you'd love to live. Would you like to be able to travel? Would you like to do work you thoroughly enjoyed? Every day when you went to do whatever it is you do, it was exciting, joyful, new, and it changed all the time and gave you more of you every single day. Would that be exciting for you? Get the way that would feel, too. I'm just giving you some possibilities. You can add any of your own that you desire. So get the way that would feel to have all of that. Good. Now put that energy in front of you, sort of like an energy ball, if you will. Now what kind of relationships and or sex would you like to have there? If you could have anything in that realm, what would it feel like to have that, to wake up with that, to have that in your life, to have it around you, to have it with you? What kind of relationships would you have with your family, your friends? What kind of relationship would you have with the planet and with the plants, with the animals, with the oceans, with the earth itself and the very land under our feet? What type of fun would you like to allow yourself to have and be? Get the way that would feel, too. How would you feel on a daily basis if you could have it? And put that in there, too. Now, pull energy into that energy ball of feeling from all over the universe. Keep pulling. More. More. More, and even more. The universe is very large and it desires to gift to you, so pull more energy into it. There, that's it. What should be happening is that your heart is opening up as you pull more energy into these things you actually desire. It's a really big universe. Don't stop where you are. Big universe. Thank you. Now pull energy into it from all over the universe. Keep pulling, keep pulling, keep pulling until your heart really opens up. When it does, be with the energy of it for a moment. Good. And then, let little trickles go out to everyone and everything that's going to help make that a reality for you from all over the universe that you don't even know yet. This energy ball you created based on getting how it would feel to have your life show up the way you desire it is not actually based on just feelings. It's based on an awareness of the energy that would be there if you actually had what you're asking for. It's just that feeling, quote-unquote, is the easiest way to describe it. So go for that feeling, because you'll be going for the energy of the living you'd like to create. After all, you chose it. Now let's create it. Everything that doesn't allow that to show up, will you destroy it and create it, please? Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine, shorts, boys and beyonds. All the projections, expectations, separations, judgments, and rejections you have about what life has to be that don't allow your living to be what it could be, will you destroy and create all that, please? Right and wrong, good and bad, pot and pock, all nine, shorts, boys and beyonds. That's a way of having an energy that you can follow to generate the living you desire. When something shows up and has that energy to it, in other words, when it feels the way that energy ball feels, you can choose to go there. For example, if you're deciding between two different jobs and one feels a lot more like that energy, do that one. Or if you're deciding between two different people to date and one feels a lot more like that energy ball, date that one. And so on. With food, cars, trips, houses, courses to attend, books to buy, etc. In that way, you'll know whether a person, a class, or a book will contribute to the life you'd really like to have before you ever spend any time or money on it. How does it get any better than that? Now, you may get closer to this energy of your living, you may get further away from it, but it can always be an awareness of what it's like to choose for you. You can use that energy as a litmus test for something you're going to choose. Like so. Does this feel like that energy ball? Is this going to get me closer to what I desire? Does this give me more of me? Does this get me closer to having more of me, or does it get me further away? Then at least you'll know. You know! And it can be a guideline for every single choice you make from here on out. The energy of you, the energy of your living. Tool, light equals true, and you just know. Try out the energy of the words in this book. How do they land in you? Lightly or heavily? Now please know that what's true always makes you feel lighter. A lie always makes you feel heavier. If it makes you feel lighter, it's true for you, however strange the words may sound. Maybe not true for anyone else, still true for you. Let me say that again. Something that's true for you always makes you feel lighter. A lie always makes you feel heavier. Yes, I've said that twice now, but twice might not be nearly enough for you to believe me. You see, one of the rules of this reality is that you're not supposed to be able to just know. Yet, it's one of your most basic capacities. And this, my friends, is a way of knowing everything that is right for you and everything that is wrong for you. But because we're taught that we can't just know, we spend our entire lives trying to figure everything out. But what if you just know? What if it's much simpler and much quicker than trying to figure anything out? Which is quicker, thinking or knowing? Knowing, right? Well, this is a way to access that knowing. What if what's true for you just makes you feel light? What's not, doesn't. Haven't you wanted an easy way to have an awareness of what's true for you your whole life? Wouldn't that make your life a lot easier? Well then, here it is again. The truth always makes you feel lighter. A lie always makes you feel heavier. So even if what you read here goes contrary to everything you thought before you opened this book, if it makes you feel lighter, it's probably true for you. If it makes you feel heavier, then it's a lie. So if you read something in this book that makes you feel heavier, it's either not true for you personally, or it conflicts with something you decided was true in the past. And if it's really not true for you, don't buy it. You can still receive all the other parts of this book that are true for you. Now the weird part is this. Some of the greatest limitations we create are the things we've decided are true that actually are not. Say you decide that your mother truly hates you. Or let's say you decide that there's a lack of caring or love in the world. Try those out. Do they make you feel lighter? If so, it's true. If it makes you feel heavier, it's a lie. Please know this. Buying a point of view from someone else, even if it's true for them, will always make you feel heavier also, because it isn't true for you. It isn't your point of view, sweet, dear, beautiful you. What is true for you will always make you feel lighter. Always. If it's heavy, it's a lie, or it's not your point of view. Period. Really. Honest. In this book, we're going to look at many of the things you may have bought as true for you, even when they weren't. even though they may not serve you anymore. Would you be willing to choose something completely different now? How? Here's the beginning. Please use this tool while reading this book. Again and again and again, ask the question, light or heavy? Even if you don't think you know what this is or how it feels. As you ask this question, which is really applying a very simple but dynamic tool, you'll get the awareness of what this light and heavy thing is all about. As one woman in a class I was giving put it, I was asking if things were light or heavy, thinking I wasn't getting anything. Then one day, 3 weeks later, I just knew. I asked a question, and I knew. And rather than leave me, that knowing has continued to grow. Sure, I deny it sometimes, mostly when I want to make a choice that I know won't work out well for me. But this one tool has changed everything for me. Thank you. Here's another way to use this tool. If something is light for you when you hear it or think of doing it, then that's usually the result that will get created in your life if you choose that thing. If it feels heavy when you think about doing it, that's usually the result that will get created. So, for example, let's say you're at your local coffee shop having your triple calf, extra fat, quadruple sugar caramel coffee concoction with double whipped cream, and you start a conversation with a really attractive man. Though he appears to scoff at your coffee selection while ordering his non-fat decaf herbal tea with no sugar, he asks you out. Though you don't know why, you get a weird heaviness as soon as he pops the question. That heaviness is an indication of what will happen if you accept his offer of a date. Why? Because as soon as you get asked out, you can see the future that will occur if you say yes or no. You know, and that's how this works. You know, though you don't desire to know, that you know these things. But if you look back over your life, haven't you always known? Haven't you always been aware when something wasn't going to turn out well for you? In this example, you don't even have to go out on the date to get the information about how it will turn out. Something that feels lighter will turn out lighter for you. In the case of the date above, it could be that the attractive man was actually not only attractive, but judgmental of one's food choices. Or maybe just judgmental in general. And in case you haven't figured it out yet, judgmental people are not fun to hang out with. It's always heavy when you're being judged, for anything. Please know, unless they're family, you can choose not to hang out with judgmental people if you don't want to. One more thing. If you want to have an enjoyable life, make choices that make you feel light and lead to more lightness when you think about them. Note to reader. Kings and Queens of Judgment. Why is it that the most limited person always wins on this planet? Why do we always give up our reality and our awareness and back down from the person with the most limited points of view and the most judgment? Why is it that you say, oh, they must be right because they're judging me so harshly? Or, oh, they must be right because they're so mean? That they judge you so harshly does not mean they are right, my beautiful friend. It just means that they are the king or queen of judgment. This concludes the free audio download of the first chapter of Being You, Changing the World by Dr. Dane here. If you'd like to purchase the book, you can go to accessconsciousness.com, drdanehere.com, or amazon.com. It will be available in early June 2011.